And joining me now, we have members of Cello Fury, and let me make sure we have everybody. Nicole Myers and Simon Cummings, are you there?
Hello.
We did that successfully. And we also, today also have Cecilia, is it Common, Cecilia, or?
Kaufman.
That's my,
yes, hi.
My grandmother's maiden name. I should have gotten that correctly, spelled a little differently. And then Brian Junker is with us tonight from the Songspace series. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
With us tonight. I meant with us today because the series is tonight. Before we go too much further, I've been a fan and have enjoyed Cello Fury since the group formed. But I'd like it if you could tell us a little bit about the history. What caused you to want to create this incredible ensemble playing new compositions and, frankly, testing the limits, and at least that's how I feel about it, the limits of how much emotion and joy can come from the instruments that you play. How did you figure this out?
Right. So we got started back in our college days, and we've all actually graduated from Carnegie Mellon with degrees in cello performance. And we decided to try something a little bit different. We wanted to take all of our classical training and kind of put a new twist on things. So we actually started playing some rock cover songs. And eventually that led to composing original music that draws from both classical music and rock music. And it's been over 10 years now, actually, that we've been playing together as a band. So it's been really exciting to, like you mentioned, kind of cross some of those boundaries and take different sounds from other styles of music and add them to what we do on the cello.
One thing that is really kind of amazing is you've charted your own course. When I talk to musicians studying in conservatories, there are only so many jobs, right, in symphonies around the country that can make use of your talents. And I never think about it that way. I don't think any of us do. But the job market, I would imagine, is at least in the United States, probably under 1,000. Is that more or less right? I'm just sort of taking a stab at it.
I think so. It is a dream job for so many of us to get a fantastic orchestra job, and we're so lucky here in Pittsburgh. We have the Pittsburgh Symphony. But you're right. It's a very, very, very competitive market. And I think, for me at least, what Cello Fury does is it combines the ability to play in an ensemble, like a chamber music group, and kind of be a soloist at the same time. And you get to reach out and play in places that maybe your typical symphony doesn't get to play. And that's been really fun for us to explore, you know, reaching out to different types of people who might not be the type that go to a symphony concert.
Yeah, and my thinking certainly wasn't to talk about supply and demand, but it's pretty great to be able to use the training and skills and passion that you've developed through your training in new ways, and also to bring music to new people, too. I know that the two of you, Simon and Nicole, were there from the very beginning. Cecilia, you joined the group just a few years ago, right?
Yeah, I joined in the fall of 2018, so just a newbie over here, but it's been really, really a joy to sort of branch out of my classical training, conservatory training, like you said, and make a career out of something that I honestly never imagined I could do, which is to play for different audiences, play for schools. We play a lot of outreach concerts, and just this awesome combination of classical and rock music that Simon writes for. It's really, really awesome.
Simon, how did the notion of crafting music for a new kind of genre like this come to you?
Well, I've had a lot of experience writing and playing music in different genres growing up, and it inspired me when I was in school, just having friends who played other instruments, and I played other instruments growing up. I played bass and drums and guitar, as well as cello, and I thought it'd be fun to kind of marry those instruments together and try something a little bit different to make the cello a little bit more maybe accessible to non-classical ears, and bring the cello a little bit more into the mainstream, like in the rock and pop genre world. So that's something that I thought it'd be fun to try writing music for, and it's really fun to play. So it's just been a lot of fun over the years to keep expanding how I write and evolve all those processes.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been nearly 12 years now, because I remember the beginning. I also can't believe that you've sold out a live-streamed concert, but Brian Junker is here with us. It is possible to sell out a live-streamed concert if you want to be sure everybody is able to hear and see clearly. There can be bandwidth limitations. And I will say congratulations. You will be able to see it probably as a replay, I would imagine, if you can't get into tonight's live show. But I'll ask Brian to talk a little bit about the UU Song Space series. If you go to uusongspace.com, you'll see information about tonight's show and shows to come. But Brian, talk a little bit about what folks can expect tonight and perhaps
sure.
in the weeks ahead, months ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to say I've followed Cello Fury for years, too. I've seen them play outdoor shows in Wheeling, West Virginia, and I've seen them at the Hard Rock Cafe here in Pittsburgh, and I was just really excited to be able to bring them to the series, especially now when it's time to celebrate, man. It's a new year. It's spring. It's really time to sort of spread our wings and use music to enjoy that. And I think Cello Fury will be great for that tonight. It is a sold-out show. We're doing something a little different. Cello Fury is streaming from their own studio rather than from the church sanctuary. And they're streaming on Zoom, which is also new for us. But it's very nice because it means that there will be more interaction with the audience during the show and some interaction with the audience after the show. And that starts at 7:30, which I'm sure all the ticket holders know already. And the limitation, the sold-out part, is just a feature of Zoom. Zoom can only take so many participants, and we ran up to the limit in Zoom. And I'm really excited about that. This is one of the only shows. It's not the only show that Songspace has sold out, but it's one of the few, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, it bodes well, and I'm sure you three have got to be really itching to perform and connect with audiences. You probably have you had much of a chance to do that over the past year?
Not really. Since March, last March, it's been pretty difficult to even to do simple things like rehearse together. But we have done a little bit of performances for schools, which have been live streamed. We're hoping that we're rounding a corner, though. Like Ryan said, we're looking towards the future, the warmer weather, and just people being able to, you know, be vaccinated and being safer. And hopefully live concerts will be coming back. We are looking ahead to the summer months and getting outdoors and playing for people. But yes, it's been a tricky time period for all artists and just so many people to try to keep doing what you love to do without really having an audience to perform for.
You mentioned rehearsing too. We see a lot of manufactured media that shows musicians playing or singing with one another in perfect sync, and it's not to take away the magic, but those things can't really happen, at least not with the technology that we have. You can't have perfect, I mean, for music, timing is a big part of it. And it's not as if three people can be in different places at the same time, all trying to play with each other, right? And unless you know a trick, I don't know.
It is really difficult. I know there is some new technology coming out. I believe it's called JackTrip, but it's a way that we are trying to develop the way of remote rehearsals, at least for the audio perspective. So I think probably with the ingenuity of everybody in this country, we'll probably get to that point where we can have something like that for the future. But yes, it is very difficult when you're talking about microseconds and syncing up one note with another note. It's very difficult.
Yeah, and of course, just not being in the same physical space to be able to connect, because music really is a language and a relationship that you have with other musicians. I have heard about some of those audio technologies. We've been keeping an eye on them, too. The one maybe, well, one of, I guess I'll call it a positive thing to come from the pandemic is necessity has been the mother to a lot of new inventions in terms of how people who, you know, when did Zoom become part of our vocabulary, except maybe during the NASA providence. So we're going to play another song from X. We have members of Cello Fury with us, Cecilia, Nicole, and Simon, and also Brian from UUSongspace.com, where Cello Fury's concert is going to be. We're going to play Alchemy next. And is there anything we should know about the album and its concept and maybe what we might want to be listening for in Alchemy?
Sure. Well, the overall concept of the album is called X because it represents 10 years of being together as a band. I'm glad you picked Alchemy. It's actually one of my personal favorite songs. I feel like it has really takes you on an emotional journey, and it showcases some of the really cool things you can do on the cello, from like a lyrical melody to a rocking out bass line, and listening to how the parts interweave together and pass from one to the next is kind of a fun thing about that piece.
Funny, I thought X maybe stood for the unknown rather than 10, but I think sometimes people make assumptions, right? With art, they think something means something very different than the artist intended, but X is also something that becomes what you want it to be, and that's one of the nice things as you listen to Cello Fury. The music allows your mind to wander and just enjoy. So let's take a listen now. We're going to hear Alchemy. Here it is. Thank you. Cello Fury and Alchemy, the song that you just heard, the composition. And that was beautiful to listen to. I'm curious, as I think our listeners are, about your backgrounds. But before I go any further, we have a special surprise. Tonight's show is sold out. However, Cello Fury and Songspace have been kind enough to set aside 5 slots for tonight's show. They looked at the list, and there are 5 openings, and they're available for you, and it's a pay what you can show. And if you are among the first to email info@cellofury.com, info@cellofury.com, Cello Fury will get back to you with a link and all of the details on tonight's show. So I hope you'll consider doing that. It's a chance to be part of an interactive audience since it's Zoom. I think you guys are going to hang out a little bit after the show to chat with viewers, right?
Sure. Yes, we'll have a question and answer, and we'll get to know everybody a little bit more. And throughout the show, we'll be using the chat so people can ask questions if they're curious about the cello or the music or anything, really.
So I hope you'll write. Again, please only do so if you know you're going to attend and want to attend tonight. You didn't have anything else planned, right? So info@cellofury.com is how you can claim a slot for tonight's program. So I'm curious, I'm going to start with Cecilia, just to understand a little bit about where you grew up, how the cello discovered you, and how kind of the pathway from your childhood to where you are now. You can go into as much detail as you want, but Cecilia, sure. Can you tell us a little bit about your life?
Yeah, of course. So I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and my parents are both musicians, so that's really where it all started. Classical music was a big part of my childhood, and my dad is a pianist and my mom is a flute player, so at a pretty young age I was tinkering with those instruments and took the occasional lesson from each parent on the piano and the flute. And then the moment that really drew me to the cello was a field trip I got to take to hear the Cleveland Orchestra, probably in second or third grade. And I something about the cello section and the cello sound really drew me in, and I was hooked. So I asked my parents to start cello lessons. So for a brief time, I was playing all 3 instruments before I got serious about the cello and put the others to the side. But yeah, it was a great place to grow up. I had lots of awesome opportunities and teachers. I still remember my first cello teacher. I studied with him for a very long time. And just being able to hear the Cleveland Orchestra every week and be a part of some great youth orchestras, it was really wonderful. So what brought me to Pittsburgh was to study with Ann Martindale Williams of the Pittsburgh Symphony for graduate school. And that was a really great move for me. It wasn't too far from home, so that was nice too. I'm able to go back and visit. But yeah, I've been here since 2013.
And do you feel, I don't want to put you on the spot, was Pittsburgh easy to become a part of? It's a little hard at first if you're not used to the city. How did you do in terms of acclimation?
It was a pretty smooth transition, I would say. There's some similarities to Cleveland just in terms of the size of the city. I didn't feel like I was, you know, going to a huge city off the bat. And in terms of building a career here, it felt like I had to, you know, meet the people and start playing with different musicians before I started working after school because I had a lot of connections in Cleveland, of course. But yeah, it's been great.
That is Cecilia Kaufman, one of the three cellists that are part of Cello Fiori. Let's get your story, Simon. Simon Cummings, who is one of the co-founders of the group. Where did you grow up?
So I'm from Pittsburgh originally, and lived here forever. And I went to Carnegie Mellon for college as well as Cecilia and Nicole. And we that's where we met and formed the group. And so I grew up here and started playing cello when I was young. And it's just become an essential part of everything about who I am and what I do now. And I've done youth orchestras in the Pittsburgh area and been teaching ever since in the Pittsburgh area and gigging throughout Pittsburgh with numerous other groups as well. But Cello Fiori has always been like the main passion and goal in our lives. But teaching has also been a major blessing for all of us as well.
Yeah, especially you each had really great mentors and instructors. I'm sure you want to give back and share things. What do you think would be most surprising about a musician's lifestyle? Not that they can all be broken down into, you know, templates for how one lives, but are there common misperceptions that people might have? And I'll throw that out to any of you, but
sure.
I'll start with Simon.
I think the most surprising thing is how many things you have to be able to do and how many things you have to do. Like when I was in school, you're like, oh, I'm just going to have to be able to be good at the cello. You know, when you're 18, you're just very naive and you don't realize that you have to be able to do marketing and promotion and networking, and you have to learn how to do sound recording and video making and website running and email lists and booking gigs and managing social media. And it's just like an endless list of things you have to be able to do if you want to make a living. You have to learn, plus learning how to teach. Like, you can't just show up at a lesson and teach a student without actually knowing how to teach. So you have to go to school to learn how to teach or take lessons on learning how to teach. So all these things, you have to wear so many hats in order to actually become a successful working musician in 2021. It's so much more complicated than just being good at your instrument.
Wow, what a great insight. Cecilia, would you add anything to that?
I agree with what Simon said, that it's wearing many different hats, and especially now during the pandemic, I feel that musicians have to be even more creative constantly and pick up all these new skills. And even I have some students, you know, applying to college for music, and that I can't imagine how that must be different this year than every other year with the auditions and such. But we're making it work, and it's an opportunity to be even more creative and technologically advanced, I think.
Let's learn more about the life story of Nicole Myers. You can start any time after birth and end any time before now. It's
the life story. Well, my cello story started in the third grade in a great public school, and I had the opportunity to hear a string quartet, and I thought that the cello was amazing, and it sounded so much like the human voice, and it just had such a great range and a voice. So I picked the cello in the third grade, and I should say that we all were so fortunate to have public school strings programs. We were all involved in that growing up in middle school and high school, and that I think that's really important. And one thing we try to do when we go into schools is encourage kids to take advantage of that and to play an instrument, because it can be such a rewarding thing. So I did go to college to study cello, and I didn't study rock cello. I wasn't really something I thought I would do in my undergrad, but we met the right people, and we were exploring this whole thing and the cover songs. And eventually I realized, hey, this is really fun. It combined my love of chamber music and playing with other people, but having sort of a unique voice. And also the music that Simon writes is very challenging. If you think of your typical pop song, you know, you might, the vocal line might be a 5-note range, but we try to really take advantage of what the cello can do and our technique, and just kind of, they're almost like little mini concertos sometimes. So I like the challenge of that. It keeps things interesting, and we're not just, you know, playing Pachelbel canon at our concerts. So cello is definitely part of, I couldn't take it out of my identity as a person. Music and playing cello is definitely a huge part of who I am as a person.
And where did you grow up, the public school that had that music program?
Right. I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and I did come to Pittsburgh for the first time for undergrad and grad school. Yeah, so I definitely consider myself a Pittsburgher now. I love the city. It's a great place. It's a great place to actually live as a musician, too. There's a lot of opportunities under a normal year, and it's a very affordable city as well. So it's a pretty cool place to be involved in the arts.
We're going to listen to Totem in just a moment, but to Chain Reaction first in just a moment. But before doing so, I want to remind you, we're talking to Cello Fiori, the three cellists in Cello Fiori. Dave Throckmorton plays drums with the group. He's not with us this morning because tonight's show is going to be acoustic, and probably it would be very hard to add the talents of Dave Throckmorton given the setting that you have to present tonight. But he really, and he's got to be great to have with you. What a talented musician.
Yes, he's very talented and very versatile in his different styles and genres that he plays in. And I would definitely want to encourage people to check out both of our styles of shows, from more intimate acoustic cello trio, and then, you know, as we get into bigger venues or we have big outdoor amplified shows, check it out with drum, because it adds a whole nother level. And every time he plays with us, the music is a little different, so you get a slightly different experience.
Yeah, you're really playing in concert with one another as you play and play off of each other, too. What we'll do, we'll take a listen to Chain Reaction together. When we come back, we're going to talk about additional Songspace concerts with Brian Junker, who's here with us. There are two more shows for this season or the coming months. Also, there is going to be a Cello Fiori summer camp for youth, and I can tell you firsthand what youth end up learning and doing is terrific. The best way to learn about it is to go to cellofiori.com and sign up on their mailing list, and that way you'll get a note when those come, or you can also visit the site daily and look for details, but I would sign up to be on their mailing list. That makes it easy. And there are 5 spaces. Tonight's show is sold out, but if you would like to go, we are live right now. The show is tonight, January 30th. The stream starts at 7:30. Just send an email to info@cellofiori.com, and they'll get back to you with information. So what should we listen to or listen for in Chain Reaction, Simon? Anything that we should take note of?
Sure. It starts out a little bit undertoned. It's very kind of subdued at the beginning with just a pizzicato intro, which is like plucking the cello. And then it immediately kind of snaps out of that and goes into like a full throttle energetic piece, and just kind of runs straight to the end very, very fast. It's one of our fastest, most energetic, exciting pieces. So pretty intense the whole way through.
I appreciate having you here to give us this little field guide to Cello Fiori as we listen. It's not always possible, but it's neat to kind of calibrate your head to our ears. So this is from the latest album, X, which is also available at CelloFiori.com, Chain Reaction. Reaction from Cello Fiori, the album X, as in 10. It's their third album. You'll find their two previous releases also available, the self-titled Cello Fiori. And then, as they often say, the sophomore release, Symphony of Shadows. I generally don't like to use terms like that, but a 2013 album called Symphony of Shadows, their second, and X is the latest. And don't forget, although tonight's show is sold out, send an email to info@cellofury.com if you would like to attend. There are only 5 slots set aside, and Cello Fury will get back to you with details. It's a Zoom show. Even if you don't have Zoom, you can still watch it by either downloading it or using a browser. Speaking of browsing, I wanted to talk a bit with Brian Junker, representing Songspace at First Unitarian, which is the sponsor for tonight's concert and the venue for shows that typically are live and in person. And Brian, you've really been a steady hand in all of this and keeping these shows going. It would have been really easy to say, we'll just stop until we can have live shows again. But Songspace has an important mission of celebrating American roots and world music, exposing people to artists they may already know or have never heard of. And you've managed to continue things despite the restrictions. And you've got 2 shows coming up featuring 2 wonderful songwriters and performers and singers. And I'll let you fill us in a bit on how those are going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll just say that I think I'm really pleased to be able to present these shows with Songspace. And I think of Songspace as kind of colleagues with the Calliope Folk Music Society and with other live venues in town. And all together, we're presenting live music in person when we can, and some really great streams from Calliope and from Songspace and from others. And it's really great to see all of the venues finding a way to make it work in this pandemic time. Our shows coming up are on Saturday, March 13th, a great spiritual folk singer named Joe Jenks, who for years was involved with a trio called Brother Sun, is going to be performing a live stream from his home studio, which I want to say is on the West Coast. And it's a special celebration of Jim and Louise Altus and the Friendship House Concert Series, which is an institution here in Pittsburgh. That's Saturday, March 13th, 7:30 p.m. I'm not exactly sure how we're streaming it yet. I think that it may be another Zoom show, but I'm not exactly sure. We'll find out, and we'll post on Facebook and on uusongspace.com about that as soon as we can. On Friday, April 2nd, also 7:30, Joe Crookston will be doing a stream from Ithaca, New York, for Songspace audience and actually anyone who'd like to join. Those are 2 great Joes, 2 great folk musicians, and we are really looking forward to that. Then I think we're going to take a breath and see what we can do about some live, outdoor, socially distanced, safe concerts this summer, and then probably there will be some live streams in the fall, and when it's safe to do so, we'll be excited to bring people back into the sanctuary.
Well, that's Psalms Garden. It's a great sanctuary, too, for music. Songspace.com, U as in just the letter U, followed by another U. Songspace.com is how you can get details. Both of those guys they're songwriters, songwriters. That's an expression I will use. They are incredible crafters of lyrics. They're incredible. Joe Jenks.
We feel really lucky to have them.
Yeah. And Eloise and Jim Altus and the Friendship House Concert Series. Joe, a good friend of theirs, and coming by stream to honor them is a wonderful honor for 2 very fine people. And Jim and Eloise are fans of Joe Crookston, too. So those are both really great shows. So I have a question for Cello Fury. I'm not sure if Cecilia was in the band when this happened. You played a football game halftime show. Do I have that right? That's my memory.
Yes, we wish it was a Super Bowl, but it was actually a Pittsburgh Steelers game, and it was really exciting because we could be out there in the middle of the field and played a halftime show, and it was really funny as we were very hurriedly trying to get off the field. The Steelers were throwing footballs over our heads to each other, and we were grabbing our colors and we ran off. That was probably the largest crowd we will probably ever play for, but that was really exciting.
Wow. And did you feel like you had them? Were you able to get the crowd excited? It's hard to tell in a situation like that.
I think we did. We did some original music, but one of the songs we did a cover of was Renegade.
Oh.
And Pittsburghers love Renegade, so I think that works in our favor.
That they do. That's something. Well, as I we were talking off the air for a moment, and I said we'll be able to get either one or two more in. I should have followed my gut. We're going to have time to listen to Totem, and this is going to be our last chance, at least for today, to chat. And I want to thank you, all three of you, from Cello Fiori and Brian from First Unitarian, for being here. Is there anything we might have missed mentioning before we take a listen to Totem as we close?
Well, one thing, I know there's a lot of younger listeners to the Saturday Light Brigade, and we wanted to let everybody know that we will be returning with our summer Cello Fiori Rock Camps. And last year we pivoted entirely to a virtual experience, but this year we're brainstorming ways of safely combining some hybrid opportunities for students. So again, if they join our mailing list at cellofury.com, they can stay up to date on what's happening with our summer camps.
Excellent. And you can also get tickets to tonight's show through a back door, so to speak. It's sold out. But if you send an email to info@cellofury.com, that will help get you a slot for tonight. UUSongspace.com is where to find more information about Songspace. I want to thank all four of you so much for being here today.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure as always. Take care.
All right. Bye now.
We had help today from Britt Haithley, who's been handling booking for SLB. Thanks also to Robert Gray, Janessa Schuller, Tad Whistle, Ben Rutkowski, Chad Green, Susan Blackman, and Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger. We will look for you again next week right here for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.